Morning, everybody. This is News Radio 94.9 890 KDXU. It's Wednesday and time for Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care Show. Here's Richard and Kaylee.
It is yet another great Wellness Wednesday, and it is the Elder Care Radio program, and we are excited to be here. Excited and a little concerned because we are going to take that step off the cliff here. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about maybe doing a call-in show, and we decided that today we will test the waters on that.
Well, then let me explain where that came from. So a couple of weeks ago when we were asked to do an event at the Catholic Ministries, we had several people come up after the show and say, or after the event, I'm sorry, and ask us on our radio show if we would do a call-in because they have questions and they think that the rest of the community would want to know, have similar questions. So I have resisted, as I always do, because I, you know, don't like to challenge myself and I'm always a little concerned. But here we are. We had enough positive pressure and influence from the community that here we are. We're willing to do it.
So. Well, and while she doesn't like to pressure herself, I know that she can do anything. So I have no problem tossing this out, knowing that it will be handled well. let's get the information out. So here's the deal. If you think you want to make a call, if you want to text us, we're going to do both of those. And Andy's going to give you a number. And why don't you pull out your phone right now and type this number in. And if you don't need to call us or text us, at least save it for another time that we do this.
Our future questions, right?
So here's the basics. If you want to call our studio line, it's 435-673-5890. 890, get it right?
Yeah.
So 435-673-5890, that is our studio line. If you're more comfortable, some people don't like to talk on the air, Richard, and so if they would rather text, if they can text, it's 435-467-5842. But the big one is the studio line, 673-5890.
Yeah, so we'll take it either way.
Give me the text number again.
435-467-5842 if you want to text.
Okay. That way if I repeat it on the air, I get it right. Okay.
All right, so today we're just going to have a frank conversation about hospice, and we're going to try and really dig in and answer some questions that we think may be at issue. So any questions you have, be willing to call or text, and we will try and integrate those into the show. Before we start, let's say that tomorrow we are going to be at the St. George Senior Center doing blood tests, sugar and blood pressure tests. That's free of charge. Stop by and see us. We'd love to do that. We'll keep a record so that you can have that to give to your doctors, and we'll just create a record over time, which is really the important part of both of those.
Right. Very helpful for you to keep track of changes to your vital signs so that you can present that information to your doctor. And of course, what is that called? Being your own best medical advocate.
That's right. So let's all take an active role in our own healthcare and come out with a better outcome. All right, so I'm going to ask the questions and Kaylee's going to answer them all.
No.
Well, I'm going to start asking questions.
Okay.
Okay. When is hospice an option?
When you find that you have a life-limiting condition or cure is no longer an option or an expectation. And you have to ask those direct questions from your doctor, actually. We find quite often that people are continuously going back to their doctors, you know, regularly. They say, okay, like, great, thanks for coming, I'll see you in 3 months. Great, thanks for coming, I'll see you in 3 months. And the families and the patients are thinking, nothing's changing. But if I'm due to come back in 3 months, then he must be working on something. And that's not always true. In fact, more often than not, if you have a regularly scheduled follow-up appointment, they are no longer working on curative measures. They are just watching to make sure that nothing else goes wrong or nothing is exacerbated, which is also where we come in, because we come in actually at a minimum of every 2 weeks minimum with doctors that will oversee your care. So we're watching you very, very closely for those little hiccups in your physical ability and in your medical health. When you're ready to focus on living your very best life instead of focusing on what's making you sick and why you just can't seem to improve, that's when you should give our office a call. Now, there's another time that's really important that might be a key indicator that you need to start asking the appropriate questions of your doctor or give our answer a call. And that's when you're just finding struggles throughout the day to accomplish the tasks that you used to be able to accomplish so freely. If you're taking care of a loved one or if it's for yourself and you just find, wow, I really struggle to get up in the morning and get everything done by the time it's to go to bed, that's probably time that you should ask.
I got a text here, someone that you said a life-limiting condition. They want to know what that means and if you can give some examples.
Okay, so there are a number of diseases and conditions that happen. Obviously, I think we all understand cancer, where our body is no longer functioning properly and there is no... there's no way to fix that. Now, in the beginning, many cancers can be overcome through surgery or chemotherapy, but at the point that that surgery or chemotherapy is not going to eliminate the cancer is going to continue to spread, then that would be life-limiting. We know that it's probably going to be the thing that puts a limit on our life. But each one of our systems, if that's our lungs, if that's our heart, if you have congestive heart failure, kidney failure, you know, other organs, if we have late stage dementia certainly is that, you know, that possibility.
Late stage Parkinson's disease, COPD, if your condition like congestive heart failure or coronary artery disease has been long and progressive, and this is where we get to, you're finding it just harder to accomplish your day-to-day tasks that are, you know, required. You know, you're feeling just overwhelmed with just life and the daily things, the requirements of life. You're probably progressed in your disease. Now, we can, you know, stick our head in the sand and say, well, my doctor hasn't talked to me about that, and hospice is a scary word, so I'm not going to ask about it or find out about it.
But that's not going to change
the
progression of this condition.
But I understand it because up until we got here to introduce this expansive palliative program, if you said hospice, it really was about, okay, so you just kind of take care of me, making sure I'm out of pain, and then eventually I slow down and die. But that's not really what the expanded palliative program was intended to be. And as we've said it before, 43 other states in this nation are implementing expansive palliative care programs. And that's why we're here. We're here for you to help you have a better quality of life, a higher quality of life, and really be able to live and focusing on living instead of focusing on dying.
Right. And really what we're hoping is that we can have conversations with people before hospice is appropriate for them. If you give us a call because you've got some, you know, some issues and we're aware of that, but you know, we talk about it, and you're not at a level where hospice is necessary, but at least we can talk about what the benefits can be so that you can look forward to that, you know, and we can get an idea of what might be a plan of care as we progress. Because, again, at each one of these diseases, there are stages at which it's just a starting condition, and then there are the point where it becomes life-limiting.
And one of the things that comes up again and again and again is, if I have cancer, do I have to give up chemotherapy? Guess what? On the expanded palliative program, no, you do not. Chemotherapy is not all, we know, it's not always curative. It's quite often palliative, which means it's for pain management. And in those cases, we continue with chemotherapy.
And that's a great, example of a much broader misinterpretation. So many people that we've talked to have said, well, if I choose hospice, then I give up all of the things that I'm trying to fix. And that's not at all the case. We're not going to take away oxygen. We're not going to take away medications that are appropriate. We're not going to take away therapies. In fact, many of us who are, you know, have these life-limiting conditions may have been eligible for home health for some period of time until the point where that therapy isn't necessarily making an improvement in our life, and then we lose that. Well, on hospice, we don't have to lose that. We don't have to give those things up so that we can continue to make it the best possible experience. Because if we give up, if we are on physical therapy and all it is doing is helping us maintain a level, that's better than giving it up and losing that that ability?
This has been a really great question because it's brought up so many other questions that we continuously have in our office. So if you're with a home health agency and you say, hey, we heard about this palliative program, am I eligible for hospice? Chances are you're going to get a no. There's a couple of factors that play a force in there. A, unless your nurse has worked for Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care, they don't understand the expanded palliative program unless they've come in and talked to us, because it is a new program to Southern Utah. B, if they are a home health nurse, they probably have not been in a position to evaluate hospice services, even though they may have some limited experience with hospice. Again, without the palliative care program, most people are looking at it just like you are, that it's when you are in bed and, you know, at the very near stages of death. And if you wait until that point, you didn't take advantage of the beautiful gifts that can be brought into your home. Things like, I mean, literally, you write the plan of care, but what is it that's going to make your life easier? Will it help if we come in and send a housekeeper in there to clean the home and get you a nice, clean, fresh start so that maintaining a clean home is a little bit easier? You know, somebody to come in and do the deep cleaning, like the floors and the baseboards and the chandeliers and the ceiling fans and all those things that have just been left undone for so long, is that going to give you a better quality of life?
And we had somebody who just needed their windows cleaned. And so, you know, that has nothing to do with clinical care, but it does have to do with quality of life. For those people who care about what their windows look like, I mean, they were going to have family coming in, and that was just the stress that they were under because they're, you know, their husband was in a condition where she knew that, you know, he was going to be passing soon, and she wanted everything to be right. And that was a Herculean task for her that was going to be beyond her ability right now under these circumstances. And we get it. There's a lot of things that have to go by the wayside when we're committing all of our time and energy towards care for one of our loved ones.
And a common concern, and I'm sure many of you will identify with this, what about somebody coming in to help you do your hair and, you know, make you look pretty, give you a manicure or a pedicure or a foot massage just to talk to you and spend some time one-on-one with you, giving you somebody to talk to and enjoy some life experiences with. And maybe you feel like it's too much to put on your children because they work full-time or they have a young family and they're very, very busy. But we have lovely, lovely people that would love to come in and spend time with you and help you accomplish your tasks so that your burdens are lifted.
Or if you're just under those stresses and you just need some time, if we can bring somebody in to take care of your loved one for a while so that you can get out and get away from the intensity of that and do some things that you want to do, spend a little time for yourself or be able to take your kids to the park and just have some relaxing time. Those are critical things that make an entire life experience much more beneficial. That we can do. There's just a broad range of things where we can bring in people to help solve some of those problems. And then there's also additional therapies that we're open to help deal with pain and management and everything else. So we'll cover some of that, but let's get back to the questions. We've gone quite a ways.
Yeah, let me get the phone number out again, 673-5890. So if you've got your cell phone, 435-673-5890. Richard and Kaylee would love to and take your call today. If you'd rather text, some people don't like to talk on the radio, you can text at 435-467-5842. You know, as you guys were talking about this, I was thinking, it seems like I heard somewhere there's a time limit on how long you can have hospice.
Another fabulous question, and by the way, one that is often asked. So there does have to be a, as part of your life-limiting illness, what you should understand is how Medicare works. We know that the government is very reactive, not proactive. So the 6 month that people keep hearing is really on the company, not the patient.
Yeah, let me just interject here. It's not 6 months per patient. It's just that we, as a hospice company, are expected that we're not going to average above that.
And the reason in that whole reactionary response of our federal government is because they want to make sure that people aren't doing what had happened in the original startup of hospice, where they just run out and everybody 65 and older they throw on to the program and they're on it 10, 15 years. That was not the intent of the program. The intent really was for the point that you're unable to really handle your day-to-day expectations, those things that need to be accomplished in the day. That might be bathing, but it's not always help with bathing. It might be just keeping up on good meals and having a good meal plan. It might be keeping up with your housework. It might be getting to the hospitals, or I'm sorry, to your doctor's appointments timely to manage your care. There's a lot of reasons that you might be eligible for the program, but you don't want to start it too late or you miss some of the benefits.
Right. So the plan really is that when people are needing significantly more medical care because of the condition they're in, they're, you know, once every 3 months going to the doctor and maybe going to the hospital once every 4 years, as that starts intensifying, then it's better if we can bring that hospice and doctor experience right into the home. For the patient, it's much better, obviously, because they don't have to worry about scheduling appointments with a doctor, and they don't have to worry about going to the ER to get things addressed, because we can take care of that right then and there. So it's important that we understand what that purpose of hospice is and that we fit within that. So because Medicare experienced a lot of problems, they decided to put a number to this. And again, that 6 months is an easy way to gauge whether somebody is at that level where they may be appropriate for hospice. And that would be if a doctor could say, well, I would expect that possibly within the next 6 months, this may be the end. But nobody can gauge it exactly.
Right,
it's not,
right.
Nobody has a crystal ball. We're
and
not saying that you have
that,
to get into that.
You never lose a benefit. Right. So it's not a limit on your care. It's not a 6 month limit on your care. It's a way that Medicare from their ivory tower in Washington, D.C. can oversee companies to make sure that they're not taking advantage of the system.
And you said that's an average number. So if you had someone on for 9 months, it might average out because you might have someone else on for 3 months, right?
That's right. Exactly right. And that's the balance that they're looking for is we'll try and, you know, give people appropriate amount of care without being ridiculous. But that means that for each one of the, you know, the people we're dealing with, we would like to be 6 months early in this program. If we can figure out how to bring care to the patient when it's most appropriate. And these life-limiting conditions don't hit us the last 5 to 14 days of our life. They are, you know, they are gnawing at us for years. And so if we can get that service in there, we'll make that work. And it's up to us to figure out how to manage that number. So
Right. Don't
let that bother you or think that you shouldn't do anything because you're not there.
Or
give us a call
and
talk to us.
Or make you think that you're going to die in 6 months.
Yeah.
That's not how it works.
Well, talk to us.
And that's one of the other things. People say, well, if I call hospice, that means it's over. I'm giving up.
Which is a perfect other point. We're trying to change this image
Yeah.
in Southern Utah because it's not about giving up. It's about rededicating ourselves, but to something more valuable and more important to us long term and to our families than just focusing on that life limiting condition. If all we focus on is that we have cancer, then it doesn't do any good. So it's really about being able to take control. You get to be the one to decide what the care is going to be. You get to decide how you want to, you know, take this battle on. And we're not saying that we will ignore the condition. We'll take care of the medical part of the condition. You can now focus on other things because we're going to give you that support.
It's absolutely not quitting. In fact, it's usually bringing more cares that reduce your stress and extend your life. And that's something people need to realize. You can go online and search it up. A good hospice program can extend your life more than 30 days, but a good hospice program with palliative care has been proven to extend life more than 60 days. So, and I'm not giving you the exact numbers on there because I don't remember them, but I know it's more than double.
And again, those are statistical averages.
Right.
Some people get more benefit from it,
much,
and others,
much,
you know, get as much benefit as there is.
Oh, I was just saying five minutes left. In the
we only have five. We've only gone through two of our questions here.
I know.
All right,
got to keep rolling.
All right. So then, what should we expect if we elect hospice? I think that's a question. If you decide that you're going to give us a call and we talk about your condition and you're eligible for hospice, what is it that you should be able to expect? And that's the challenge that we have, is changing people's perceptions, because many people have a perception. And their expectations are not very high, because they've never had a good hospice experience. They've had, you know, they've seen it with their friends and neighbors and
family.
Let
me interject. Yeah. You may have had a good hospice experience as you know it. Nurses in this industry would not choose this profession if they weren't compassionate, loving, and kind. I truly believe that, because this is a hard choice, a hard field. But what you don't know is what you missed out on. You missed out on all the extra help. Yes, you got Medicare's minimum standard. You got your durable medical equipment. You may have gotten some of your medical supplies. You may have gotten your pharmaceuticals, and you got a nurse to come in that was absolutely lovely and kind. You may have even gotten a massage or two. But what about all the extra things? And this is the part that's very difficult to put in a brochure, because it's dynamic, very specific and individualized. It's about what's important to you, not to me. We're not going to come in and tell you what you get. You're going to tell me what you need, and we'll ask a few questions to help you come up with that. And many of you out there right now are thinking, I know what I need. I need help with planning meals. I need help with cleaning my house. Mm-hmm. I need help with my husband, getting him in and out of bed, and I need to know how to change his, you know, brief or what have you. You already know. Call us and let us help, because that's what the palliative program is. It's filling your needs, not my needs.
Yeah, so number one on the list is what should you expect? You should expect that your goals come first, that the things that you want and need are the things that are most important developing a plan of care. You should expect that the services that you're offered are specifically tailored to your needs, not just, well, these are the things we do and we're going to put you on a schedule and you know, that's all that there is, or that we're going to give you some medications and give you a time frame to put those into place. So it really should be a you-centered, you, not only the patient, but, you know, the caregiver and the family. They should really be in there first. You should expect that it's great care that actually makes you feel better, that you can feel a better day, or, you know, a better way of life.
Less worried, less stress.
Less stress, less pain, and care that makes you look forward to the next visit. So that's another one. You should expect that all of your questions get answered. And these are just points that we make because we find that when we're talking to people, these are the issues that they didn't get, that their questions weren't answered, that they didn't get all the information that they could have gotten. And we're talking about information that maybe your doctor didn't give you because the doctors don't want to have conversations.
Or they didn't have time.
Yeah, the hard conversations. So we want to be able to answer those questions for you. You should really expect that every day of your life is better than it would have been without hospice. That's, I think, the case.
That's a big one.
And you should expect that we're going to be able to make changes to the care plan as the need changes.
Regularly.
Yeah. So if you don't get what you expect, and this is an important point, if you aren't getting what you expect, or at any time in the future, it's not what you expect, then you have choices. And one of those choices is to change. You can switch. If you're not getting the care that you think you should, then you can choose a different hospice.
But the caveat to that is, we don't want you to switch. We want you to get what you're entitled to from the company you're with. So call and find out what palliative program really can be, and take that back to your company and say, hey, I didn't even know that this is available. I want these things provided to me. And your company, I'm pretty confident, will step up. And that's kind of the whole point of why we do this program, educating the entire community on what you're entitled to and serving you in giving you a better quality of life.
So our next question was going to be, what's the minimum Medicare standard and how do we exceed that? But there's not enough time to cover it. So I'm going to bypass that one, and we'll cover that maybe next week. And the question we're going to ask is, do I need a doctor to prescribe hospice?
No, absolutely no.
Nope.
In fact, it's all beneficiary choice. So you should start doing your own research. You should give our office a call, find out what eligibility is based on your needs or your illnesses, you know, your diagnoses. And we will reach out to your doctor and talk about when and what's appropriate. Your doctors would be excited to find out that you were doing the work for yourself. So give our office a call, 435-477-6999. We'd love to answer your questions. We're here for you.
Thanks for being here on the radio with us today.